قوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على. Can I have one nice loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please? Thank you. Emotional intelligence in Islam has been our ongoing topic, and tonight is our last discussion in this series. The attempt for the past 5 days now and 5 nights has been to examine our internal kingdom a little bit differently. There are emotions inside of us, faculties inside of us, that when trained, when governed, when directed properly, can actually lead us towards God. And we chose, for the sake of this Khamsa series, this 5-lecture series, 4 major faculties inside the human being: anger, desire, creativity, and the intellect. Ghadab, shahwa, waham, and the aql. And we've discussed now 3 of the 4, and tonight or today we'll discuss the 4th one, keeping completely in mind that today is the day of Arba'een and we have Masaib and the Maqtal that we absolutely will get to. Before that, with your permission, let me wrap up the topic and then move towards the Maqtal. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The overall theme that we have been trying to get through is the idea that every single emotion inside of us, inside the teachings of Islam, is not to be dismissed in totality. The deen does not say that all of anger is corrupt, all of desire is satanic, all of creativity is disastrous. No. When trained, when governed properly by the intellect, you can actually extract beautiful characteristics from these faculties. And I promise that I would not leave you, and I won't leave you today until I give you those 4 beautiful characteristics. So far, we've discussed 3 of them: courage, modesty, and justice. And I chose the intellect to be the last discussion of my series, only because it is the faculty that will train and govern and direct all the other 3. Remember my org chart, my reporting structure I talked about, inside corporate insan. The aql is the CEO, anger, desire, and imagination all report back up to the aql. What ends up happening is, like I said last night, when anger or desire overtakes the intellect, storms the office, invades the office, sits on the throne, that's when we lose control of our emotions. Our anger gets out of control, our desire gets out of control, because now the aql has taken a back seat. So the intellect has to be strong enough to ward off any possible invasion. And we must minimize those moments where you and I lose control. The very first discussion I had 5 nights ago was the idea that after being aware of your emotions, we must begin to control those emotions. And Karbala is that place where up and down the musibat of the Ahlul Bayt, we saw nothing but emotional intelligence. They never once allowed their emotion to control them. In fact, they're the ones that control the emotion. And so today, as a recap, or as a final discussion on the intellect, and true to form now, we'll look at deficiency of the intellect, excessiveness of the intellect, and that moderate desire level. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. There are people who can be deficient in their intellect, and there's a problem. There are those who are excessively intellectual. That's also a problem. That might sound ajib to many of you. Let me get there first. First deficiency. Simple enough to know that those who are deficient in their intellect are ignorant in their nature. Ignorance, jahalat, now breeds from a deficient level of the intellect. Now, I don't have much time to expand on that. All of you, mashallah, are a very intelligent crowd. You have ulama up and down this center. I don't need to go through all these concepts. It's enough for all of you for an ishara, and you can go ahead and take it as you wish. Ignorance in Islam has 2 different categories in it. Jahli basit, jahli murakkab. Very, very quickly. There's simple ignorance, there's compound ignorance. Simple ignorance is that when a person is ignorant and they know that they are ignorant in a certain field. For example, you ask me to do your taxes, you ask me to perform open heart surgery, I'm ignorant when it comes to taxes and the heart. And I know I'm ignorant. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to act like I know. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a doctor. I won't pretend to be one. That's simple ignorance. That's easy enough. The dangers lie in the second category of ignorance. Jahlin murakkab. Murakkab means to compound two things together. So now a person is ignorant, but the problem is they don't know their ignorance. And what is attached to the ignorance is their ego. So now there are people that have no business talking about any of the topics, but mashallah, they talk for hours. And with confidence, they're wrong strong, as my young guys say nowadays. They are confident in their ignorance. Do you hear yourself? Sitting there talking, let's say debating an alim of 40, 50 years, you've read 4 to 5 pages of a book. Sitting there talking to a doctor who is a specialist in a field. So, you know, if I were you, doctor, I would do things this way. MashaAllah. That's a big problem. And that actually is born from a deficient level of the intellect. Where now we have to humble ourselves. At the same time, identify that simply we don't know sometimes. And that's the problem. Sometimes we can't bring ourselves to tell ourselves, I don't know. And as our first imam says, there's an immense amount of barakats and blessings in the statement, I don't know. It either forces you to go out and research what you don't know, or at least find a source that will tell you what you don't know. But this ignorance is a disease inside of our communities, inside of all of us. We don't always need to have an opinion on everything. Sometimes silence is a beautiful avenue of knowledge. It's sometimes not what we do say, it's what we don't say that also is our akhlaq. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So a deficient level of intellect now breeds ignorance. And as the Holy Prophet says, two people have broken my back. Jahil ba'amal, alim bi'amal. An ignorant one that acts, an alim that doesn't act. Because with that ignorance now, a lot of people make decisions. They worship, they challenge God. They actually begin to conform the deen to their own ignorance. And so they have all sorts of opinions on the fatawa of the maraji, the rulings of Islam. If you ask me in 2021, this should happen, that should happen. All breeds from a what? A jahlin murakkab, an egotistical ignorance. There's jur'at and audacity in their ignorance. They challenge those who are the ahli ilm. That's a problem. And that comes from a deficient level of intellect. That's one. What about those who are excessively intellectual? How is that a problem? What's wrong with intellectuals? And to understand that, let's come to the Quran. There are some things inside the deen specifically that the intellect cannot grasp. We have to accept that. The very nature of submission inside the deen is I submit to a higher power. Even when I don't know why I'm submitting or to what I'm submitting, I know the higher power, and that's enough for me. Not everything is X's and O's. Not everything is proofs and dalil. Not everything can be understood by the mind. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala. He says ilm, knowledge, is not only light, it's a journey, he says. And the journey is from what we know inside the mind to what we accept inside the heart, to what we do outside of the body. Incredible Ahlul Bayt, I tell you. People like me have reduced knowledge to what I know in my brain. Oh, a lot of stuff is in our brain, I tell you guys. A lot of things are in our brain. How much of it has descended onto the hearts? Because the deen is both aql and qalb. Huge discussion. It's both emotion, it's both logic. It's both intellect, it's both emotion. The mind plays a substantial role, the heart also plays a substantial role. Very, very quick, before we get to the verse, very quickly now, the story of Nabi Musa and the golden cow, very quickly. When the Bani Israel tribe sees these individuals bring this cow to this mayyat, and the hukam is to rub the tail of the cow against the dead body will come back to life and tell you who killed him and why I was killed. And that's exactly what happened. They sat there and they witnessed. Imagine you and I being there witnessing a dead body come back to life and tell the people around them that so-and-so killed me for so-and-so reason. All under the wahi and leadership of Nabi Musa. You would think for a second now, I would say labbaik to whatever Nabi Musa believes in. But they didn't. Time and time again, they wouldn't do it. And Allah says, I did all this, this whole cow story, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So your intellect is nice and strong. So your intellect is roshan and turned on. And right after, the Quran says, the reason why you're not able to say labbaik to Nabi Musa's Lord, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبَكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Your hearts have hardened. So God makes a very clear connection between the state of the heart and the state of the mind. There are some things that, yes, make sense to us in the mind. There are some things that require a perennial leap of faith. And that comes from the heart. Many, many things in our ethics, in our sharia, in our theology cannot be understood by the intellect. 124,000 prophets, why not 126,000? Why not 14 imams, or why not 17 imams? Why 2 rakat fajr? Why not 3 rakat fajr? Why 1 ruku? Why 2 sujood? Why 20%? Why not 30%? All these things tell me. Intellectually, can you understand them? No. We can't. And sometimes the very certainty that all of you, myself included, is looking for cannot be found in the X's and O's. Sometimes it requires us to perform the amal, and buried in that amal is our certainty. I studied Hajj in the Hawza, entire semester. My class on Fiqh Istidlali, on Kitab Hajj, for an entire semester. There was homework, there was a midterm I wrote, there was a final I wrote, I passed everything, I did very well, everything was on paper. When I had to go for Hajj a couple of years back, I read all the material. Imam Sajjad and Shibli's conversation, Dr. Sharaiti's book on Hajj, you name it, everything I read. I was ready in the mind for my Hajj. But oh boy, that first tawaf. Nothing prepared me for that first tawaf. There I was, circulating the Kaaba, the Bayt of Allah, my Qibla for many, many years, the birthplace of my Mola. And no class, no exam, no piece of paper could ready me for that tawaf. And if anybody was to ask me, can you describe the tawaf, I wouldn't give them an intellectual answer. I would give them an emotional answer. I would tell them how I felt walking the lands and the same ground that the prophets before me now walked. Not everything can be understood by the intellect. Some things have to be understood by the heart. People who are excessively intellectual, that intellect, that knowledge becomes a veil for them. That's why in the Quran you have two pairings. One pairing is amanu wa amalu salih. Other pairing is tazkiyah wa ta'lim. Understand the Quran very beautifully. Believe with the heart. But to strengthen that, you must believe with the mind, act with the heart. On the second pairing, purify yourself and then educate yourself. Strengthen the mind, purify the heart. Together now you get exactly where you want to get to. And to bring the point home in the Quran, Surah Baqarah verse 260. My EV guys are ready, I know they are. They're automatic. Nabi Ibrahim, Ulul Azam prophet, the father of Abrahamic religions. Okay? He approaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the same verse I read in Masumin Center. That was a different topic, this is a different topic. And subhanAllah, this Quran is amazing. One verse of the Quran now, you can extract so many lessons. From one verse, multiple problems are solved. He approaches Allah with Qala Ibrahimu. Ibrahim says, Rabbi arani kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. You've heard it 1,000 times. I want to see. How do you bring the dead back to life? Oh, please understand this very short verse. I won't go through all of it. Just the first line. I know. Masaib is waiting for me. I want to know how you bring the dead back to life. Qala awalam tu'min. You don't believe, Ibrahim. What happened to your belief? What a beautiful question by God. I'm so happy he asked Ibrahim that question. Qala bala. No, I believe God. I believe. وَلَكِنْ لِيَتْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I don't have that itminan of the qalb. Meaning what? Nabi Ibrahim wanted more. He wanted yaqeen. And he's asking God, how do you bring the dead back to life? The continuation of that verse is very famous. Where now he instructs Nabi Ibrahim to what? Grab 4 birds, train them, grab a piece of them, meaning, you know, put all 4 pieces on a mountain. Now they're lifeless pieces. Call them, they'll come towards you. Anywhere in the verse, does God go through an intellectual process to show him? That let me show you X's and O's, 1 + 1 = 2, this proof, that proof, right? We go from here to here, and or, if, and then, but no. It says, you want to know how I did this? Your intellect can't handle it. Let me show you with your own hands. Take the birds yourself. With the birds now you'll understand. If you can do that, then so can I. There are many things that we understand that are outside the capacity of our intellect. I understand the idea that intellectualism is very important, no doubt about it. I'll get to that in a moment. Before that, however, please understand the idea. People who completely rely on the intellect are bound to not get to where Nabi Ibrahim wanted. A lot of us want more. Asabai, I want more. Asabai, give me more. I want to walk through walls, Asabai. I want to be in Karbala right now. I want to see my barzakh. Oh, we all want more, right? And it's beautiful. It comes from a beautiful area, but we're going about it the wrong way. If Nabi Ibrahim went through an intellectual process, he would have denied himself that more. Sometimes that more is found in the amal. I won't understand tawaf until I actually do the tawaf. You won't understand the beauty of the month of Ramadan till you fast in that month. Do it and try it. Intellect is there. By all means, it's there. And the problem is this. You know, this morning I had a beautiful talk with my wife over an amazing cup of chai. And she said something very profound, like she always does. She's here, she's watching. The distance between the earth and the sun, okay? NASA says it's 149 million miles away. Tiga? 149 million miles from the earth to the sun. Anybody here want to dispute that? Are you sure? Say it's not 146, 157. We accept it. Okay. It's NASA. I believe in NASA, so whatever comes from NASA, I believe. Have I gone to the sun? No. Have you? Hopefully not. Haven't gone to the sun? Did you hop in with Bezos and go up to the space? No, you didn't. You accept it, no question, no argument, no debate for me. It must be 149 million miles. Why? Because NASA said so. I might have doubt about the actual calculation. I don't have doubt about NASA. It's a point I make wherever I go this Muharram. Please listen to it here in front of my family, JCC. There's a lot of things in the deen that maybe my young guys may not understand in the intellect. Why this, why that, why this, why that? A thousand whys, and may God bless those who ask why. But sometimes we have to understand that I simply won't understand the answer. But what I do understand is the source of the information. So while I'm doubtful about 149 million miles, I'm not doubtful about NASA. So while I'm doubtful about why one ruku and two sujood, why do I have to wear sleeves up until here? Why 7 times, 3 times, 40 days? Why 20%? Why all that? That stuff may not make sense to me, but the one who sent it down for me does make sense to me. And because he makes sense to me, I accept it. So as I said before at Al-Mahdi, I'll say it here. Sometimes we need to drop the doubt for the sake of the certainty. That happens when the heart accepts that certainty. And yes, I will say one thing. To understand that source being God, absolutely the intellect has to be on. Let's move away from inheriting the religion. Let's begin to believing in the religion. And that is an intellectual process, no doubt about it. But once you understand God intellectually, you submit to Him with the heart wholeheartedly. Excessive intellectualism blocks you, is a veil, stops you from the likes of Abi Ibrahim, watching these birds coming towards me. Imagine the certainty he had that he couldn't get through the intellect. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So yes, I'm asking you to go through the amal. Go through the amal. Even if maybe for a second, I don't know why I'm doing it, go through it. I know, God, it's enough that you've made it wajib. Khalas, tamam shud, bas bahut ho gaya. That's it. You've made it wajib, I'll do it. Whether or not I actually believe it's any benefit for me, I don't know. But as the more I do it, the more Allah will gift me that yaqeen and open up doors and give me ma'rifat and give me awareness, provided I don't leave the path. So the strengthening of the mind and the purifying of the heart has to go hand in hand. And excessive intellectualism removes the heart from the equation. It's a problem. So that leaves that moderate desired characteristic. The fourth of the four jewels, which is what? Wisdom. Hikmat. From a balanced level of the aql and the intellect, what is born from that is wisdom. The wisdom now to know, when should I get angry, when shouldn't I? The wisdom to know what I should desire, what I should walk away from. The wisdom to know that I shouldn't be oppressed, nor should I oppress, all from that the past 4 nights. And the wisdom to know, for example, what requires my intellect, what requires my heart. Now, how do you strengthen that wisdom? I'll give you one hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've had some beautiful questions asked to me about this series, which is a credit to the community. That's fine. If I identify that I am deficient in my anger, Sayyid, how do I fix that? And remember, I talked about strengthening the intellect. He is the trainer of the anger and the desire and the wahm. Remember that? He's a trainer. He's a CEO. Okay? And a failed trainer is the one who's weaker than the one who's training. We have to now minimize the amount of times that he gets overthrown. How do you do that? You strengthen the intellect. That nobody would dare touch him. How do you do that? The hadith. Al-ilmu al-misbahul aql. Knowledge is the lantern of the intellect. The lantern, the fanus, you say in Urdu and Farsi, the light. When the aql is in darkness, when the aql is weak, it's knowledge that comes and empowers that, enlightens that, gives that aql now life. So whenever, wherever you can sit in a gathering where there's knowledge being delivered to you, quietly accept it. There are people who are surrounded by knowledge, people who are more knowledgeable than them, and they can't get over the sound of their own voice, I tell you. Baba, the first step of knowledge is insat, the Prophet says, is silence. There's a person in front of you who's gifting you knowledge. Take it, man, absorb it. Don't teach that person. Don't sit there and enjoy the sound of your voice. Don't have to add to his or her already beautiful points. Just take it, absorb it for your own self, for your own sake. The prophet says, the one who sits in a gathering where there is knowledge present is better than 1,000 nights of worship. Seek that knowledge. And yes, it requires practice. It requires a lot of practice. It requires you to be mindful. It requires you to identify, me as well, what are my triggers? What makes me fuming mad? What makes me desire what I shouldn't desire? What is it that makes me suspicious of that person and that person? All these things require muhasaba, accountability, some thought. Be aware, be present in that emotion. Don't simply just give and say, okay, that's it. So now my summary and then the maqtal. Four characteristics. Many of you ask me, what's the purpose of life, Asad Bhai? What are we doing here? What is all this? And while there are many answers for that, if I can give you one, that's this. The purpose is to prepare ourselves for the mulaqat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Jummah now describes death, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. There's a mulaqat now. And I don't know about all of you, but I want to be ready for that meeting. It's like you young guys in university when your exams are there and you study for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Sayyid, I got this exam, man. It's nothing. I can write it right now if I had to. I'm ready. The morning of the exam, with confidence now, you walk into the examination room. As opposed to that one guy who didn't study at all, but shout out, he's cramming all night long. That morning, there's a pit in his stomach. Nervous the entire exam. Looking around, praying that it gets canceled. Snowstorm, rainstorm, something, yar. Not ready for the exam. Imagine his state, imagine the first guy's state. I don't want for any of us that we are moving towards the mulaqat of Allah and we're not ready. What state should we be in? These four characteristics. Courage, modesty, justice, wisdom. If we can summarize the mission of the prophets to inject the human race with humanity, these are four pillars of humanity. If we can embrace that inside of us, then we're ready, inshallah, for the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And up and down Karbala, you saw these four. You saw courage. You saw modesty. You saw justice. And you saw wisdom. Not from the enemies, from the Ahlabayt themselves. The day of Arba'een is here. All of you have come to cry. All of you see the images now in Karbala. Let me make one point if I may. The actual day of Arba'een, when the Qafla left Sham, is now entering Karbala. The Maqta says there were 22 people in that Qafla. Imam Sajjad, Bibi Zainab, Umm Kulthum, Rabab, children, other women, 22. 22 in the first Arba'een of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And today, 16 million. My salams to you, Zainab. Arba'een is the victory of Zainab binti Ali, I tell you. The message of Arba'een is very simple. We must embrace the path of Bibi Zainab. She took the event of the day of Ashura from the northern desert of Iraq, took it through the bazaars of Kufa, the bazaars of Sham, through the Zindan of Sham, the Darbar of Sham, and now to every corner of the globe today, screams Labbaik Ya Hussein. That's Zainab binti Ali. And now this Zainab is going back to Karbala today. So when you stand there and you read the ziyarat today, and if you do nothing today, read the ziyarat, and you watch the images and you pray, I want to be physically there in Bain al-Haramain. I beg Allah physically now bring me so I can walk between Abul Fazl and Imam Hussein. In the same dua, ask Allah, let me walk spiritually on the path of Zainab as well. And while the Qafla is making its way to Karbala, the first Zair of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein also arrives in Karbala. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, one of the oldest companions of Rasulullah. He lived until the fifth Imam. Jabir, you'll meet my son Muhammad ibn Ali, send him my salams. Jabir heard about the news of Imam Hussein, and in the state that he was blind, grabbed his companion Atiyah al-Awfi and arrived on the plains of Karbala. These two now arrive in Karbala. The first thing Jabir says is, Atiyah, take me to Furat. Jabir arrives in Furat now and begins to prepare himself for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. He is done getting himself ready. He puts on some ittar, he puts on some khushboo, some nice smell. He then says to Atiyah, Atiyah, find me the grave of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Atiyah says to Jabir, Jabir, these graves are not marked. I have no idea which grave is Hussein's. How do I find out which grave is Hussein's? Jabir says, just take me between where there are multiple graves. I will find the grave of Hussein. Jabir then goes one by one, picks up the khak of each grave. He smells it, puts it down. Goes to the second grave, picks up the khak, smells it, puts it down. He went to multiple graves until he reaches that one grave where he picks up the khak and he smells it. Picks it up again and he smells it. Three times Jabir smelled the khak, and then he says, Atiyah, hadha qabr al-Husayn. This is the grave of Hussein. How do you know, Jabir, it's the grave of Hussein? I know the smell of my Aqa Hussein. I held him in my arms. I fed him. I practically raised him. This is the smell. Jabir collapses on the grave of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, begins to pick up the khak and puts it on his head. He stands up now. At that moment, in the loudest of voices, he says, Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. He calls out to Imam Hussein, complete silence now in the Maidan of Karbala. And then he says, Hussein, Aqa Mola, this is Jabir calling you. I am your lover, you are my beloved. I am the Habib, you are the Mahbub. How could it be that the Mahbub is not answering the call of the Habib? And then right away Jabir says, how could you answer my call? Your body is here, but your head is on the nook and naza on the spear. He begins now to converse. And then Atiyah says, Jabir, there's a qafila coming from a distance. I don't know if it's Ibn Ziyad's qafila or somebody else's. Maybe we should hide, go somewhere else. He says to Atiyah, Atiyah, describe to me this qafila. He says, Jabir, there's black flags everywhere. There's mostly women and children. The women are dressed in black, the kids are dressed in black. Are there any men, Atiyah, in this qafila? He says, there's one man, but his back is bent, his beard is white. There is a nishani, there is a scar around his neck. Jabir doesn't understand the description. Take me towards the qafila. He stands in front of this man who's described. Who are you? Where have you come from? This man now comes off his horse, picks up Jabir. Jabir, Ana Ali ibn al-Hussein, Jabir. You don't recognize your Imam. Hey, Imam Sajjad falls at the feet of our fourth Imam. What is this I hear in this Javani? Your back is bent, your beard is white, there's scars up and down your neck. Mola, tell me what happened in Karbala. Imam Sajjad says, Jabir, they killed my father when he was thirsty, Jabir. They trampled his body, Jabir. They separated the arms, and one by one now, Imam Sajjad, imagine the heart, after all of that journey, you finally find someone who's close to you, your loved one. You absolutely now release all the emotion onto Jabir. Jabir begins to cry. Imam Sajjad begins to cry. At that moment now, Imam Sajjad says, Jabir, let's move to one side. My puppy Amma Zainab now has come off her camel and she's coming towards the Maidan of Karbala. Zainab now approaches the Maidan of Karbala. She could smell the fragrance of her brother, arrives at the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. My salams to you, Zainab. I don't know how you mustered the energy, all that grief, all that hunger, all that tiredness, the thirst, the bruises, the scars. Somehow she could muster the energy. Assalamu alayka, ya Abu Abdullah. Bhaiya, Zainab is back from Sham. Zainab has returned from Sham. Zainab has conquered Sham. I kept your promise, Bhaiya. I took your message through Kufa and Sham. I made sure everybody knew why you did what you did. And she began to cry, began to pick up the khak of Karbala. But then at that moment, the maqtal says, Zainab stands up and she moves towards the banks of Furat. There's a grave there as well that Zainab has to go through. Zainab slowly approaches the grave. Abbas, your Zainab is back, Abbas. I don't know what was said. All I know is that Zainab must have said to Abbas, Abbas, I wish you were there to see my fight in the courtyard of Yazid. I took on 700 men. I took on Yazid. I flipped that courtyard on its head, Abbas. Rabab then says to Imam Sajjad, Sajjad, tell me where my Ali Asghar's grave is. I don't see my Ali Asghar's grave anywhere. And Imam Sajjad says to Rabab, when I was burying my father from that trampled body said to me, Ya Bunayya, bring me Ali Asghar. Put him on my chest, bury him with me. If I was there, I might have asked Imam Sajjad, how did you bury Ali Asghar on a man whose ribs were completely broken in half? How did you bury Ali Asghar on the chest of Hussein? And finally now in Tamasidwa, Zainab goes back to the grave of Hussein. And again, my heart tells me, because for 3 days now they stayed in Karbala. The Bani Asad tribe joined them. For 3 days, there was Azadari in Karbala. But before that, I'm sure Bibi Zainab said one last thing to Imam Hussein, Iltimas Dua. And she said this to me, to Imam Hussein, Bhaiya, I have certain tasalli inside of my heart. I have contentment inside of my heart. I'm for the first time, I can cry. I can cry for you without somebody whipping me, without somebody beating me. At the same time, I am sharminda in front of you, Bhaiya. I am embarrassed in front of you, Bhaiya. Why are you embarrassed, Zainab? On the day of Ashura, Hussein said to Zainab, Zainab, I ask you of two things. Number one, in namaz-e-shab, don't forget me. Number two, I'm leaving you my four-year-old Amanat. Take care of my Sakina. She's my sukoon. She's my itminan. Look after her. And at night, please, put her beside you. She gets scared at night. She gets scared in the dark. Make sure you look after her. She's my Amanat. Bhaiya, I kept the one promise. But the last one, your four-year-old, I left in the Zindan of Shah. Matam Hussein, ya Hussein, ya.